Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we know with confidence as we read the scriptures, they bring life to us. They instruct us and reveal to us the things that you did days and years gone by. But Lord, these aren't just stories of the past. They're also stories for the present. Lord, that we can glean truths and believe by faith that you can raise the dead, that you can give sight to the blind, that you can heal lepers. And Lord, for many of us in this room, that you can bring that peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, you know the needs in this room. You know the cares and concerns. You know those of us that are down. You know those of us in here who are flying on high and are just having a great time in our relationship with you. God, we pray that you would minister to each one, that we would continue to live our lives so others know that we're Christians and that they would ask those questions of why we have peace and why we're happy and why we're joyful. Lord, it's because of you. So teach us and instruct us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Prepare the hearts of those who are going to hear. Prepare our lives that we would walk these truths out. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you know me, you know one of my greatest Christians of all time is George Mueller. George Mueller lived in the 1800s. He was called by God, used by God in mighty ways. Built orphanages, had a Bible institute that trained up people in the Word. And he was just a mighty man of God and a man of prayer. If you ever read any of his writings or any of his books, you will learn very quickly that George Mueller didn't do anything without praying first. And when George Mueller was asked to explain the secret to his service, he said it in this way. There was a day when I died, utterly died, died to George Mueller, his opinions, his preferences, his tastes, and his will. Died to the world and its approval or disapproval. Died to the support or blame of even my brethren and friends. Since then, I have studied only to show myself approved unto God. George Mueller had a single focus, and that was to please his Lord. A single focus to do the things that God called him to do. And George Mueller saw some amazing things in his life. He saw God provide in amazing ways. And when we want to see God move in our lives in amazing ways, we have to believe in amazing ways. We have to understand that God can do something in my life miraculous. We have to believe that it'll happen, but we have to be obedient in that process. We can't just live for our cares and our concerns. Not that those are unimportant. Don't get me wrong. God wants you to have desires. God wants you to have hopes. God wants you to have dreams. But they need to be underneath the guidance of his Spirit, underneath the guidance of his will. George Mueller had the proper perspective of what it meant to be and have a submissive spirit. And that's what we've been talking about. Last week we started this message on this submissive spirit. It's not necessarily a spirit that is common in the day to what we live in today, to be submissive. No, today it's make yourself number one. It's promote yourself. It's you be the person that meets all your needs. And it's difficult for us, even as Christians who love the Lord, to think, I need to submit under authorities. And that is the heart that Peter is writing here in the second half of chapter 2, is to have that submissive heart. Why? So that you'll honor the Lord. It's going to be different than the world. We're going to look differently than the world. And in these three sections I see in the last half of chapter 2, the first one is submitting to government. And we talked about that last week, submitting to the authorities that have been put into place by God. Let's just read it again. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 13 says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Look at verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Peter says, listen, submit to the authorities that are in place on earth. The ordinances of man is what he's talking about here, are the institutions that man has set up. Paul said it this way in Romans 13. We looked at it last week. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Look at this. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Is God in control? Does God have his hand in everything? Can God not move in the hearts of our government, of any authority, of anything that's over us in this world? God is saying, guys, we need to step back from this and not say, I don't want to submit under a government that's criminal. What we have to have the heart is, I'm going to submit under the governing authorities in the world that I live in, the country that I live in, the state that I live in. Why? Because of God. Because of the Lord. Because it's pleasing to him. I believe all of this, in the second half of 1 Peter chapter 2, is preparing us for heaven. That we will be those Christians, that we will be those citizens that are willing to bend our knee before God. That, hey, I know we need to have a voice and we need to speak truth and we need to speak righteousness in our communities, in our authorities, in the government. Our heart as Christians needs to be communicated. I think more now than ever before. This week, as I was watching some of the news and hearing some of the things, I'm getting sick to my stomach of the condition of our country. It's sickening to me. Why? It's not biblical anymore. It's not, and I know all the statistics. Oh, it's a small little minority that's speaking the loudest. I get that. But this little leaven, if you will, biblically, this little leaven is going to be a cancer in our country. The things that our country is starting to allow, the rights of all people to do, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And what this area of Scripture is telling us, guys, submit to that authority, even though it's wrong, because you love me. Because you love God, because you love the Lord. Why? He wants us to submit to him. And I think if we're going to balk the system, if we're going to fight against authority and against submitting, it's going to be a lot harder for us to lovingly submit to the Lord. Do you hear me? It's a heart, it's an attitude to submit in this way. Again, verse 15, it jumps off the page in me. For this is the will of God. Anybody in here ever asked, what's the will of God for my life? This may be it. There's several places around the Bible that says, this is the will of God. I highlight those, I circle those, I go, well, what is it? That by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That you might do what's right in your life. That at your workplace or in your homes or in your schools, that you would do what's right based on the Bible, not just on what people are doing. Peer pressure is not an easy thing to overcome, is it? Well, everybody else is doing it. I mean, if you have kids, maybe you've heard that before. Well, everybody else has an iPhone. Well, everybody else has an Xbox. Well, everybody else does this at school. Well, what's Jeremiah say? As for me in this house, we shall serve the Lord. Was it Jeremiah? Did I get it right? Joshua? That was close. That's a J. We need to willingly submit to authority. And the heart behind this is authority is set into place to create order. Okay? There's authority in everything. And at work, we're going to get to that in a minute. But in any type of organization, there's an authority. There's decisions that are made at a higher level that needs to be communicated down and need to be embraced because those decisions are being made based on different factors that we may not know. So submit to those things. Let's flip over real quickly. We were there last week, but it's in John chapter 19. Excuse me, John 19. We're just going to pick up in verse 8. Jesus is before Pilate. You may know the story. I mean, the Jews are bringing him before Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. He's a blasphemer and all these things. In verse 8, we pick up, it says, therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid. God bless you. And went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Look at this response of Christ. Jesus answered, verse 11, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Guys, if you can embrace this mindset, if you can embrace this attitude that Jesus has here, certainly I would imagine Jesus Christ was the closest to the Heavenly Father, wouldn't you agree, in his relationship? But Jesus had this confidence that God, my Father, is not allowing anything to happen to me, the Son, that is not within his ability. Not within his authority, I should say. Do you think that's any different for any other Christian? That the things that are going to happen to you in your life, the decisions that need to be made, the directions that need to be going, the things that are coming over you, the things that are burdening you right now, aren't under God's authority? That's the attitude of Christ. Pilate says, hey, I have the authority to crucify you or to set you free, so you better start answering the questions the way I want. And Jesus goes, you have no power. You have no power unless God gave it to you. God may use your boss, who you don't like. He may use a friend, or I guess it wouldn't be a friend if you didn't like him. He may use somebody in your life that you don't really care for to get his point across. Do you understand what I'm saying? God was using Pilate to fulfill his purpose for Jesus Christ. And Jesus was okay with that. He was comfortable with that, even though it was going to lead him to death. I wonder some of the things that are maybe happening in your lives that are stressful, are difficult, and you're just going, oh, God, get me out of this, when God's going, I put you there. I guided you there. Why? Because I want you to glorify me. And it's like, oh, Lord, I want to glorify you, but this is hard. He says, no, submit to me, and you're going to see something happen. Do you want to see something happen in your life? Do you want to see God get a lot of glory? Go through a difficulty. Go through something that you don't understand how, and see God get you out of it. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to be like, oh, Lord, let's do that again. Maybe not. But I believe the more he gets us through those things, the stronger we become and more willing we are to say, Lord, whatever it is, you know what you're doing. That's the attitude here. You know what you're doing. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing in the United States. God knows what he's moving and moving places and different things all over this world to get his will done. That's the confidence that we got to have as Christians. God's will get done, period, right? We don't have to worry. Oh, no, God's losing. No, he's not. And so we need to submit to those authorities willingly. How much do you trust God? How much do you trust him? If you look at your past, you may see a pretty good track record. A pretty good track record of how God provided for your life. I was speaking with someone from the church this week. They're going through a difficult season. They're struggling. A lot of things in their past still kind of coming up. And as I'm talking to this person, these words come out of my mouth. And I think it's an applicable thing for us to consider in whatever we're going through today. I said, we need to, as Christians, live normal now. In other words, if you're a Christian and you want to see great things happen in your life, or you want to see circumstances change in your life, but you have no power to change those, just live normal now. Just do what you know is right to do now. What's Martin Luther King's quote is, now is always the right time to do the right thing. Do what you know now. Live normally now. Let God do the supernatural in your life. Let God orchestrate the greatest glory in your life. You just worry about doing what you know to do. Too many people focus on, I don't know what I have to do to make that relationship work. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my workplace. Am I going to get fired? Don't worry about those things. Worry about what you're supposed to do. If you're worried about losing your job, be a good employee. Get there on time. Do a good job. You know, spend the 8 hours that you're getting paid for. 8 hours, be there. Be good. If you lose your job, God didn't want you to have the job. This is the will of God. Again, 1 Peter, let's go back there. This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Do you know one day every knee's going to bow? Everyone that said you're crazy for trusting in God, that you're trusting, believing in the Lord, one day they're going to go, well, you were right. You were right. Put to silence. And then real quickly, I want to look at verse 16 again. We're free, aren't we, guys? As free, Peter is saying. You're free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Wouldn't you agree? But notice what he says. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak, but be as bondservants. We're free slaves. Talk about an oxymoron right there, right? A free slave. We have the freedom in Christ, but we're slaves to be submitting under him. Another way to look at this verse, I love the New Living Translation of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. It says, do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. That's what it means to do not use liberty as a cloak for vice. I was like, what the heck does that say? Don't use your liberty to do the things that are wrong. Do what's right. And he says in verse 17, honor all people, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king. So our first point of a submissive spirit was citizens submit to government. Citizens submit to government. This next section talks about employees submitting to employers. I don't know, we don't like to talk about work on Sunday. But I'm having to work, we're going to talk about it. Look at the first word in verse 18. Servants. Bond servants, he talked about earlier. Servants. Those who serve. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongly. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So the second thing, not only were we as Christians submitting under the governments, we're also to submit under our employers, those who kind of run the business type things. Again, the submissive heart. Regardless of if they're a good boss or a bad boss. I know some of you in here going, you don't know my boss. You don't know how they are. And we're going to get into husbands and wives next week. Uh-huh. Probably three people will be here at church tomorrow. I expect at least three couples who I know are going to get married within this year to better be here. Servants, you better be here. In fact, front row, all three. That's a great idea. I think that's a good idea. Servants, be submissive to your masters. Notice these words, with all fear. Do you think God wants you to be afraid? No. This with all fear goes back to the first up there in verse 13 where it says, for the Lord's sake. For the fear of God, submit to your masters. You should notice right off the bat, you may not pick it up, but you should notice that when the Bible talks about slavery, it doesn't say don't do it. It doesn't speak against it. Peter isn't saying, if you're a slave under a master, do everything in your power to get out. It doesn't say that. It says, be a good slave. Be a good hard worker. Be one that's, you can have a good attitude, a good heart. Be a good person. Why? Because you're a Christian. So you want to look at your workplace as slavery? That's fine. But realize who your ultimate master is, and that's God. So submit to those masters with all fear, whether they're good or bad. The word says in verse 19, for this is commendable. If you want to write that, the word basically is God-pleasing. It's pleasing to God. It's commendable to God. If because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, look at suffering wrongly. How many of us jump up and down? Hey, I'm wrong. I suffered wrong. God knows, right? God understands that. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:10. Hopefully you'll be overhead. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. For righteousness' sake. If you suffer because you're a Christian, praise the Lord. If you suffer because you're doing what's right, praise the Lord. Here's the thing. When we get to heaven, God not only balances the scale, I think he tips it to our favor. Whatever you suffer here, God sees, he's going to reward you in heaven. Acts chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but you know the story. The disciples are preaching Jesus in the temple. And the religious leaders don't like it one bit, right? They say this. They agreed with him. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they, the disciples, the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for shame for his name. Look at this, though. Verse 42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you in here are smart, and you're thinking, well, they didn't really submit under authority. God's authority overrules all authority. You hear me? God's authority overrules all authority. You don't submit under government or even your workplace doing something that dishonors God. God is the ultimate authority. And so these were rejoicing that they were beaten for Christ. Have you ever come home from a hard day of work and just said, praise the Lord, I suffered all day for the Lord? Heck no, you didn't. You're like, I need an extra soda. Or whatever you want to put in there. It was so hard at work today. Oh, that boss of mine. Listen, rejoice that you suffered for the Lord. He sees your heart. I think it breaks the heart of God when his Christians are complaining because they're suffering in this world. One of my favorite, well, not my favorite, but one of my fondest promises in the Bible, in this world you will face tribulation. Jesus, out of the words of Jesus, in this world you will face tribulation. Be of good cheer, he says. Gosh, that's why I'm weird. When you come up to me and say you suffer, I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you were counted worthy. Praise the Lord that someone noticed you were a Christian. Praise the Lord that someone's giving you a hard time because you carry a Bible, whatever it is. Prayer. I think it's a great. Last Sunday, after seeing everybody that stuck around and was praying out there, man, if nothing else, guys, if we could be known as people that pray, is that so bad? People that pray, and why are we so afraid to say to someone, can I pray for you? I believe if we would start to ask, can I pray for you, we'd be surprised at the responses. I think we're fearful. Oh, they might say no. And go, so what? Maybe they'll say yes. Then what? Now you got to pray. Now you should be fearful. Pray for people. Pray for people. Every opportunity you get. And then he goes on. He says, for what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. You deserved it. All right. I don't know. But where is the real credit? Hello. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable. Again, pleasing before God. If you're patient, God wants us to be patient people. I know we don't like that word in the church. God wants us to be patient. Rejoice in him. If we go over to Luke chapter 6. Look at me at verse 32. I know some of you like to see it when Jesus says it, so here it is. Luke 6 and verse 32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind and to the unthankful and the evil. Love this. Love your enemies. It's easy to love those who love you, right? It's great to have coffee with someone who cares about you. Invite someone to coffee who hates your guts. That's hard. Maybe they'll buy your coffee. I don't know. Love your enemies. Do good. Always doing. And lend. I can't tell you how many times I've counseled people. You know, maybe it's their children or maybe it's a friend. Hey, I have a friend who has financial difficulties and they've asked me to lend some money. I just don't know. I know the Bible talks about it. I said, do this. Pray about it, certainly. If you feel it's a green light. If you feel like you're willing to give that money to them and never receive it back, then I say go ahead and do it. If you're going to lend it with all hopes of getting it back, you're setting yourself up for failure. I can't tell you, they're coming to my mind already, the people I've lent money to who said, I promise I'll pay you back, and they still owe it to me. And I have to constantly, I'm not lending it to you, I'm giving it to you. It's yours, it's no longer mine, if I get it back, it's a blessing. That's the attitude to have. But see, we have this, if I lend it to you, I know I'm not going to get it back. Don't lend it to them. Give it to them. If they give it back, praise the Lord. If you're comfortable with doing that. I just think it's a small, and the reason I bring attention to it, I think it's a small thing that we don't do in the church anymore. Well, we've all been hurt. We've all been taken advantage of at some point. God says, do it. Do good. Lend. The Jews were told not to give out loans or take loans or anything like that, but God wanted them to be so blessed that they were able to give away without expecting anything in return. That's a different attitude. Hoping for nothing in return. He says, and your reward will be great. See, we think getting the money back is the blessing. The blessing comes in heaven. The reward we'll get in heaven is going to be much greater. Now, I want you to see something. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Who do you think He's talking about? The unthankful and the evil. I submit to you, He's talking about believers. He's kind to these believers whom He loves, that many times we can be unthankful. And let's be realistic, we're evil in our core, apart from Christ and apart from the Holy Spirit. I think God is kind to His children. He gives to them expecting nothing back. He does good for them even though they don't do good back. Do you see what I'm saying? If this is God's heart, He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. I don't think they're talking about unbelievers. Like, I think God's heart breaks towards them. And I do believe He provides for them, but ultimately He's going to pour out His wrath upon them who don't accept Him. Hey, we can sit down and talk about it, but I just feel like God is saying, sometimes I can be unthankful. Sometimes I can be downright evil. Sorry to say it, but I'm just like you. God wants us to be willing to give, and if it's having that submissive attitude, that submissive heart, that's what He's trying to produce in us. Finally, and I think most importantly of this whole sermon, is our third point. Submitting to government, submitting to masters. In verses 21 through 25, believers submit to Jesus Christ. All right? Believers submit to Jesus Christ. Look what Peter says. For to this you were called, because Christ, talking about suffering. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. And look at this. He quotes Isaiah for the rest of this, basically the rest of this area. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return, when He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself To me, that says submitted. Committed himself to him who judges rightly, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Peter steps back and he says, yes, submit to government. Yes, submit to your masters or to your employers, but make sure you submit to Jesus Christ. Make sure you lovingly submit to him. You're called to suffer. Christians are called to suffer. Why? Because we no longer can just live haphazardly and do what we want. The world lives without any pressure. If they do wrong, they don't know it's wrong, so they don't care. To them, it's right, but not to the Christian. To the Christian, we do something wrong, and there should be that conviction should be there. The Holy Spirit should be punching a hole in our heart going, that was not right. And we're called to this, guys, because of Christ suffered. Now, if your Bible, if you have the New King James, it says us. For Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. You can change that in your Bibles. I don't want you to. You can change that to you. It's the same thing. It could be the same thing. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Make it personal. Make it personal. That you should, listen, follow his steps. Listen to me. Jesus wants you to walk the way he walked. Jesus wants you to live the way he lived. And if we know, truly know the life of Christ, we know the 33 years that he lived. The last three were very difficult. The last section of going to the cross were very difficult. We're to live that way. We're to walk the way he walked. Submitting your path to his. It's almost like, this picture in my head is this, I guess buffalo must be on my mind, 3 feet of snow. You know, dad's out there with his son, and they're trying to walk across the yard, but there's all this snow. And the dad says, you just follow me. And dad goes into the snow, and he puts his feet, and he keeps walking, and the son's just following in his footsteps. The dad makes a way to get through the hazard that the son would never be able to make it through. He's only 2 feet tall himself. It's the same thing for us as Christians. Christ set the example for me. I'm to walk in his footsteps. I'm to walk in his grace. I'm to walk in his mercy. I'm to walk in his forgiveness. I'm to walk into loving the unlovable, loving the unthankful and the evil, which we all are. Following in his footsteps. And I don't know about you, but when I read this, I immediately think of what is going through the heart of Peter. Peter, the one who denied the Lord 3 times. Peter's recounting what Jesus did for him. And he's saying, submit to that authority. Submit under the loving, gracious authority of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for you, who took away your sins. Peter is one of the most thankful people at this perspective of his life, at this point in his life. He's been forgiven and restored by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's able to write, you keep your eyes on Jesus. You walk in his footsteps. Because Peter knows you. He goes, I used to be like you. I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll be there with you, Lord. I'll die for you, Lord. Ultimately, he did. But there was a season there where there was a little bit of doubt. And maybe for you, there's a little bit of doubt. Practice these things on earth, submitting to the authorities that are over you, that are put into place by God and empowered by God and used by God. God is going to use the United States government and the United States to accomplish his purposes ultimately. Whatever they may be, we're going to submit to them. And all of this section is looking into Isaiah chapter 53, that Messiah, the prophetic area of scripture there in Isaiah 53, speaking about all these things. Now, Peter reminds us, he who committed no sin nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. Could he have though? Yes, he could have. He could have easily responded the way maybe you and I respond in different situations. You know, crucify him. Jesus could have said, I'm not guilty. I committed no sin. He could have easily done that. And we're to follow in that same way. We maybe feel justified sometimes for the Christian rant. But should we? Just because Pilate asked the question doesn't mean Jesus had to answer. I think some of the most powerful thing for Christians is sometimes not even to say a word. Don't speak until told by the Lord to speak. And then speak with all boldness when he does tell you to speak. God wants to use your voice. God wants to use your life to impact this world for him. Are you willing to submit unto that? He's a loving, caring, gracious God who died for you so that you can live a life to make a difference. We need to have the right heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you for your word that is always with us, Lord. That we can physically carry our Bibles without fear of persecution or death. That we could be those Christians out loud, that the world around us could know we're Christians and we don't have to worry about being thrown into jail. But Lord, help us not take that liberty and that freedom for granted. Let us live out loud and boldly for you. We submit under your authority in all things. We pray that your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom when to be silent and when to speak. When to speak the truth. When to be still in prayer. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. For many times we just don't know what to do. But we know you do. You know what's best for us. We know what's best. We know that you know what's best for your purposes. So we pray that we would just be still. Live normal now until supernatural comes. Doing what we know is right. Because it's right. We love you, Lord. Bless this day. Bless this meal we're about to partake in. In Jesus' name. Amen.